thought for today: what money can and can't buy. A bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. Food, but not appetite. Finery, but not beauty. A house, but not a home. Medicine, but not health. Luxuries, but not culture. Amusement, but not happiness. Companions, but not friends. And flattery, but not respect. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. What money can and cannot buy, it can buy a bed, but not sleep. It can buy books, but not brains. It can buy food, but not appetite. It can buy finery, but not beauty. It can buy a house, but not a home. It can buy medicine, but not health. It can buy luxuries, but not culture. It can buy amusement, but not happiness. It can buy companions, but not friends. And it can buy flattery, but not respect. Our life is dependent upon what we think money can buy. Unfortunately, that happens to be the case. If you ever say to a person, well, would you rather be happy or rich, you know, and they say, well, I'd rather be rich, you know, I mean, richness can buy happiness. Well, it really cannot. Would you like to have wealth unlimited and have limited health? Well, with wealth unlimited, I could buy all the doctors and medicine and things that I need to get the health that I need. You see, now, these things are not necessarily true, because health is something that is spiritually one with our being. And when we tune in to perfect health, we are a very happy, fulfilled person. When we tune in to happy, joyous relationships, we are a very wonderful and fulfilled person. There are many wealthy people on earth who are not very happy, and there are many happy people on earth who are not very wealthy. It doesn't have to be either way. It doesn't have to be that way at all. It's whatever way we want it. It's not an either-or thing in any area of life. As commonly as we may think it is an either-or thing, it is not. We do not have either money or health, money or friends, money or whatever that. This is sort of a statement that it says you can buy a bed, but you cannot buy sleep. Well, you can buy sleep. You can buy sleep by paying for it with the price that it demands of you. Sleep demands a happy, quiet, peaceful consciousness. And you can buy that by paying the attention that needs to be paid to accomplish it. Now, how do you pay the attention that needs to be paid to accomplish sleep? Well, you can have many routines that many people like to follow. Some people like to take a hot glass of milk and honey before they go to bed. That sort of soothes them. Some people like to sit down and read a book until they fall asleep, and then they get in bed, or they're in bed already. Some people like to have a peaceful home atmosphere where everything is in order and they feel good about themselves, and this is salubrious for having a peaceful situation. Some people say that a certain bed gives them relaxation and peace. Some people, well, you see, it goes on and on. I know when we were in the Navy, we had break time. We had at boot camp, we had to do everything under the sun. And I worked in the kitchen along with lots of other guys, more than we needed. And so we'd work hard when it was time to wash the dishes and get everything ready. And then afterwards, we had to hang around. We had to remain there because that was our post, so to speak. So we could do anything we wanted to do, but we had to stay there. So we would lay down on the long metal trays, and we'd just drop off into slumber. We had nothing else to do. Oh, a few of the guys would play cards and a few of them would do a few other different things, but basically we had nothing to do. And you'd lay down on this sheet of steel, which was hot and then cold because it had been putting the hot dishes across it and then dried off and it was cold again. And you didn't think a thing about it. You had no pillow for your head. You didn't think about that. You just laid your head down, laid your body down, and went to sleep. Now you see, it was not a matter of buying sleep. And it was not a matter that we were tired. We just were bored with nothing else to do, so we slept. And how did we buy that sleep? We bought that sleep with the idea that, hey, I think I'll just take a nap. And naps are always nice, naps are always fun. I'll just take a little nap. And so we laid down and fell asleep. Now, I don't recall one of the many guys that I was with in that particular incident, not one who did not easily, quickly fall asleep. They'd all had good night's sleep. They'd all had a lot of good activities and other things. But when it was time to take a nap, they all fell sound asleep. And an officer could walk into the area in the kitchen there and see all of us sound asleep. And he'd chuckle to himself and say, yep, I remember when I was going through that stage myself. But you see, the officer might also think to himself, boy, I would love to have the sweet abandonment that these young men have who have nothing else on their mind but just to drop off to sleep in the middle of the day with just nothing else to do. But you see, sleep is bought by peace of mind. Sleep is bought by letting go and just being. Sleep is bought by a tenderness of the heart, tenderness of the soul. Now, you can buy books, but not brains. Oh, yes, you can buy the brains. You can buy the brains by using the purchase power that is required to buy them. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. Now, that's all the brains of the universe. That's all the wisdom of the universe. That's all the intelligence of the universe. And do we have that money to spend and saying, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows? Do we have that? No, we don't. That's too expensive. That requires us to say something working in an illusion area. We haven't seen it. We cannot touch it. We cannot put our key in the car and say, go, you know, and away she goes. We are not used to our mental attitudes where we say, I know that I know that I know. The divine in me knows the answer. If we were able to do that, my, what a wonderful world we'd have. And what a wonderful life we'd have. We can do that, but it just takes a little bit of investment. And we can have food, but not an appetite. Well, that's only too true. We can have food, but not an appetite. An appetite comes because we smell it, we think food, we enjoy the possibility. And I can't imagine anyone suffering from a lack of appetite. Perhaps some people do because it's a chemical thing in their bodies and they have allowed it to take control of them. But of the majority, and even of the high majority, 99% of the people on earth do not suffer from a loss of appetite. That's a rare condition indeed. And that's a condition of self-imposed feeling of not having worth, not feeling that you deserve to live, that you deserve to have food that nourishes your body and strengthens you to accomplish the things you want to do. That's just a mental thing. Always it's mental. We can have finery, but not beauty. Where does beauty come from? Beauty comes from the spirit. You look at three different people, three different women, and they can be of varying sorts, and one can be extremely beautiful, the other little beautiful, and the other not beautiful at all. And yet, if the not beautiful at all woman liked herself and was a radiant experience, she would have finery beyond anything that you could ever purchase. She'd have finery beyond any clothing. You look at a mother who has just put her children to bed, and she's a bit bedraggled after putting to bed four or five kids, and each one wanting a story, each one wanting a little personal attention, a little show that they're loved. And the mother understands that and shows each child individually that she indeed loves them very, very much. And as she does this, she has a radiance and a beauty about her. She has a and nobody in that entire family would want to change mothers, because that mother is pure love and giving that love, and that mother is the most beautiful mother in the world. And she may look like some strange being from another planet, but she is the most wonderful mother in the world. And that's true for all of us. When we give love, when we give the price that it costs for the finery, for the beauty, and the price is love itself, when we give it, we are a shining vehicle of love ourselves, because that's the only way love can be shed and shared by us, is when we ourselves are loving and fantastic. We can have medicine, but not health. Well, now, that's interesting. The early pioneers, the early cave people, the people down through the millennia, they didn't have a lot of medicines. They had to speak their word and know their perfect health, and they did. And whenever something terrible came along, the mother would always say, "Now we can see this through." And the doctor would come and to the house, making house calls, and he would sit there with the patient and say, "The fever will break shortly and all will be all right." And as hard as it might be living through the breaking of the fever, the doctor cared about us. He sat right there, and he even put his hand in ours and said, "Come on now, you can do it." And our family all gathered around and said, "Come on now, you can do it." They didn't blame us for our illness. They didn't blame us for whatever it was that we were facing or we'd done, even if it was something we did to ourselves. But they loved us, and they wanted us to pass through this, this too shall pass, and return to our original purity and integrity. The medicine is the medicine of love. The medicine is the medicine of caring. The medicine is the medicine of knowing all is well, and we can indeed return to our original purity and integrity. The medicine, but not health. Oh, we can have perfect health if we take the right medicine. And the right medicine is to love ourselves, to love our bodies, and to recognize that this is indeed the temple of the living God. Luxuries, but not culture. Well, when we look up the word culture in the dictionary, we find many meanings for it. And one of the meanings is refinement of taste, the desire to enjoy beautiful pictures, beautiful paintings, beautiful artists, the ability to appreciate an artist who we might otherwise not appreciate. Some of the artists that we see their paintings, we look at them and we think, "Eek, I wouldn't want that in my house." Well, you see, you don't have culture, according to some people's point of view. And I say, you have a fantastic culture, because you know what you like, and you surround yourself with what you like. That's your culture. And we may have luxuries and all the other things, but what is the thing that really turns our heart? What is the thing that shows the culture that we are? And what is it that shows the culture that we are is our attitude toward ourself and our world and the world of, if you will, culture that surrounds us, the world of luxury that surrounds us. We're untouched by it. It's there, but we don't need it, we don't want it, and if it comes to us, we accept it, but it is not important. You see, we are the master of everything in our life. We are the master. We can buy amusements, but not happiness. Yes, amusements are something that just take our mind away from being ourselves and thinking who we are. And little children are a perfect example of this. You buy them all the wonderful toys that you think will amuse them, and they go underneath the sink where the pots and pans are kept, and they bring out the pots and pans, and bang, 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 they're the happiest kids in the world. You see, it's not that we can buy amusement but not happiness. We can find amusement and be happy in virtually anything we want to do. And it doesn't matter whether it's expensive or not. We can find companions but not friends. Well, I protest here that we do not want either companions nor friends. We want to be ourselves, so complete, so fantastic, so glorious, that we have no need for companions or friends. And we may create people on the path with us, people who are walking their own spiritual understanding, and they stand by us and they say, hey, you know, you think just like I do. And I say, thank you, that's very nice. But you see, they don't think like you do. They don't think like I do. They think like they do, and that's what they should do. They should think like they do. And when they think like they do, they come up with all sorts of ideas that are consistent or inconsistent with what we are. And a companion is someone that you enjoy the company, and there's someone that's around you. And a friend is supposed to be someone who is very special, who likes you beyond and above somebody else. Well, I don't want companions or friends. I create in my world beautiful people who are being themselves and having fun, and they delight in my presence, and they delight in me being with them as they're having fun. They're not my companion. I don't need them. If they would forget me as they go out in the evening, or if they would not call me and say, how are you doing? As friends often do. But I create about me a world of beautiful beings and beautiful circumstances. And most certainly, though money can buy flattery, because people come up to you and say, oh, you're so wonderful, give me a little of your money, but not respect. Respect and character sort of go together, and a person who likes themselves and has respect for themselves has character. A person who doesn't like themselves and doesn't respect themselves, they have no character. Look at yourself as you walk through the path of life. Do you believe in yourself? Then you have character. Do you like yourself? Then you have respect for yourself. Do you think that you're a wonderful, happy person? Then the world thinks you're a wonderful, happy person, because the world is your reflection, and you are the reflection of yourself. Think on these things. What can money buy and what can't buy? Well, money is not always just in dollars and cents. Money oftentimes is in what we're willing to give for what we want to receive. Think about that. What you're willing to give for what you want to receive. And as you think about this, live in that consciousness and know that as you thought up for today comes to you with all of my love, so it remains with you with all of my love, and I give you the biggest bank account in the world for you to use unlimitedly right from your own heart. I love you. I love you. I love you.